The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Welcome back to another episode of the Bastards of Boston Baseball. You can find us on Twitter at Bastards_Boston. I am your host, Charlie Smith, coming to you from Los Angeles, California, by way of Providence, Rhode Island. You can find me on Twitter at Smith_MLB. Our other hosts for this episode are Nick Diamond, coming to us from Broward County, Florida, and Terry Cushman, or what's left of him and his voice, will be coming to us from Myrtle Beach in South Carolina by way of Windham, Maine. So, Nick, how are you doing? Where can the fans find you?
I'm doing all right, guys. You guys can find me on Twitter at NDiamondMedia. Besides that, just kind of dragging along the end of the season here. So,
yeah, very Red Sox-esque. We're just dragging along. And Terry, let's hear what you got left. How are you doing? Where can the fans find you?
I am coughing way less, but my voice is still on sick leave, apparently.
You sound the way that Craig Breslow manages a ball club right now.
I think I sound like my haters on Twitter, like after their like 11th hour of like trying to roast me with crap that doesn't make sense. But anyway, speaking of Twitter, at CushmanMLB. Find me on Facebook and TikTok at Terry Talks Sox. Super active on TikTok. Slowed down a little bit on the Substack, but we will be picking that back up as the off season comes into swing. And yeah.
Perfect. Thank you, Terry, for the intro. Give you a couple seconds to recover. The Red Sox lost 2 of 3 against the Rays, getting outscored 11-5 and actually getting one hit in the third game of this series that now drops the Red Sox to 76-77, still in third place. We are mathematically out of the division, which was so eloquently mentioned to us multiple times during the series. We're 4 games out of the wild card, sitting behind the Mariners by a pair. And, I mean, can we officially say that we're out of it? How are you guys both feeling? Nick, why don't you go first?
Oh, we're definitely out of it. It doesn't matter anymore. Even if we win out, I don't think we get in. The Tigers are playing too well. At this point, I think we're tied with the Rays in fourth place. So I'd rather just – my only goal right now is to not finish in last. So it doesn't matter to me anymore. I think these games are just about – hopefully no one gets hurt and end the season on a high note, but the season's over. It's been over for a while.
Yeah. No, what this really feels like, it feels like, do you remember that movie Waterboy with the mascot that's like drunk and like falls over the table and passes out? That's what this feels like. Like it's just awful. Terry, what's your take on that?
I mean, the biggest story of the series was Tristan Casas got fired up after seeing Trevor Story naked in the shower. And I want to know, like, what fired him up? Like was Story doing like the helicopter or something and he had a really big rotor or something? I don't know. But they didn't really elaborate on that, but Casas almost hit a 3-run home run because of it. And all because of, I don't know, Trevor Story in the shower. That was my biggest takeaway from this series. I mean, we'll get into all the other stuff, but
yeah, it's a weird feeling because we were getting a lot of hate before the season started, or even towards the beginning of the year when people were calling us haters or just negative Nancys, for the lack of a better term. But it's been brutal just based on the fact that the Boston Red Sox were dealt a really poor hand with a GM of baseball, whatever you want to call Craig Breslow, president of baseball operations, whatever, just not restocking the team. It's just brutal. So anything else you guys want to add before we tag our bottom five? All right, right on. So leading us off with our bottom five, Nick, why don't you go first?
I'll start it off with Nick Pivetta. You know, he went 4 2/3, gave up 4 runs. My biggest problem with him is the home runs, and specifically to Jose Siri, who has quickly become my least favorite player in the league. Just anybody who gives up home runs to that guy just bothers me now. So I can't wait till Nick Pivetta's a free agent, signs with another team. But also looking at it, who's going to replace him? It's probably going to be a guy like Dick Fitz, honestly, at this point, or Lucas Giolito. So it's not like we're going to have a big-time ace come in here to replace him. So Nick Pivetta was steady, but I'm looking forward to him pitching for another team.
Terry.
Yeah, I mean, that was like the quintessential Nick Pivetta start. You know, got tuned up for a bunch of runs, didn't go deep into the game. I mean, did he give us a chance to win? Possibly. I mean, if your offense was showing up, but this is who he is, and I think that might have been his, well, maybe he can fit in 2 more starts. I don't know. Yeah, I guess he would, but, you know, we didn't really do a lot in the Nick Pivetta era, and it felt like we were always waiting for it. We were waiting for that breakout season, and he did have his longest run of consistency last year. Most of it was out of the pen, but the dude was just disgusting. He was a punch-out machine. Nobody could touch that sweeper, and, you know, he was hurt a little bit this year, and it just didn't really ever come to fruition for him. And with all these minor injuries he's had, you just have to wonder how much he has left. But also another guy you probably could have moved at the deadline and got, excuse me, first cough of the show, a semi-decent prospect in return. And, you know, we got that wrong too, so.
Without looking, what do you think his career high in wins is?
12.
I was going to say 11.
10. And he did it as a member of the Boston Red Sox in 2022 and 2023. Nick Pivetta is the most average guy you can find. And he can show glimpses of brilliance, but... yeah, you're probably right, Nick, to be honest. I mean, replacing with someone like Dick Fitz, I mean, wouldn't be completely out of the cards. But if Pivetta wants to get paid, it's not going to be as a member of the Red Sox. And what do you think he's going to get? He's 31 years old. He did better last year than he did this year. ERA still above 4. He's pitching to his averages again. I'm curious. Like, what are the odds the Red Sox try to retain somebody like Nick Pivetta? I don't know if they're that high. I'd put it at like 25%, if that. Anything else you wanted to add, T?
Yeah, I mean, the only way he's coming back is if he ends up having no market at all and you can get him for $5 million. That's exactly what happened to Martin Perez in 2022. He hit free agency, had some decent spots in 2021, not so much towards the end and definitely not in the playoffs, but I think everybody expected he'd get a 1 or 2 year deal, and it just, his market never materialized, and we ended up getting him back on, you know, a team friendly number. Actually, that was 2021, wasn't it? Yeah. So that was coming into 2021. So he did have a pretty good 2020, albeit an abbreviated. Yeah, and then even after that performance, his market didn't develop, and then we brought him back for 2021. So, but that's literally the only scenario I see Pivetta coming back.
Nick, do you see him coming back?
I'd give it probably like 10%, if probably less. I don't think he comes back. I think he'll get a contract of 2 to 3 years. 10 mil a year or something like that. He's a guy who's going to make 30 starts if you want him, you know, just to eat innings, you know.
Right.
So he'll get paid. Somebody will take him. He's valuable, but not for the Red Sox at this point. They need somebody better, but they won't get somebody better.
Right. If he was like the fifth or sixth guy, I could see it maybe being a possibility. That's where I'm putting it at like 25%. But genuinely, I think that they're going to continue trying to build around Hauk, Crawford. I think they're going to try to do something again, unfortunately, with Garrett Whitlock, because they haven't learned their lesson again. And Bayo too. So that's going to be your three-headed monster. Hopefully we get Lucas Giolito to come back as well. That'll be four, and they'll maybe Fitz and somebody else. You know, that's going to be the interesting thing. Moving on to number four, Terry, who do you have?
I'm going to go with Alex Cora. The injury management for these guys is as reckless as I've ever seen in my life. And I'm not exaggerating. Like, Pivetta was having problems with his shoulder, and he's allowed to, I think, finish the inning, and he got that final out or two. We saw the same thing with Kenley Jansen, got two fast outs. Suddenly, he walked two guys, and then, you know, there was a mound visit, the trainer came out. Cora decides to keep him in there. And don't get me wrong, they're not coming back next year, so there's no long-term concerns here with those two players, but it's still a pretty reckless disregard on the part of Cora to throw them out there. I've never seen somebody with obvious symptoms of something, a pitcher anyway, and the manager and training staff let him stay on the mound. This is the first time I've seen it, and it happened twice in the same series. And then I wanted no part of Tanner Houck pitching at all. Now, Houck did fine. We're not going to talk about him. He went four innings, so they didn't really stretch him out too much. He didn't walk anybody, so the command was there. He struck out four in those four innings. But why mess with it? Why jeopardize you? He is the one guy you do need to protect, because you have him for the next 3 or 4 years. He's not even arbitration eligible yet. So I don't see why you'd mess up next year's rotation. I mean, if you were to get Giolito back, but you lose Hauck, that's just a lateral move. You don't move forward that way. So
I see that actually as a net negative. If you lose Hauck and you get Giolito, I see that as a net negative.
I agree. I mean, I would expect Hauck to have a better year next year if both are healthy. So, yeah.
Perfect. Nick, anything you'd like to add?
The only thing I'd like to really add is, I guess in the post-game show, Kenley Jansen said he wasn't coming off the mound no matter what. You know, for him, I guess it's a save thing. He wants to be like top three all time, whatever. Good for him. I guess if I was the manager in this kind of spot, I'm not going to let my guy go out there and get injured, though. I don't really care what Kenley says. I know he's a Hall of Famer. I'm not going to let a Hall of Famer get hurt on my watch. So I kind of agree with Terry there. Just don't hurt yourself for no reason, you know. He also did it with Hauck, and I guess Bayo also had a slight injury today and they let him go. But he was good enough, you know, offense still stuck.
You know, there's an expression, when good enough isn't. And for the Red Sox, when good enough is great, because there are no other options. Kenley Jansen is fourth all time. He is 31 saves away from Lee Smith, who pitched three more seasons and had 478 saves. Kenley Jansen is not going to last 2 years, so he's going to have to hope that he gets 30 next year in order to finish third all time. Craig Kimbrel just got DFA'd, so Kimbrel's not going to be overtaking fourth place from him. The next closest active player in baseball is Aroldis Chapman, who has been playing the same number of seasons, is the same age, and is 117 saves away. So if you're Kenley Jansen right now, would you feel comfortable calling it a career, or do you really need to have that third spot?
I think he wants the third spot just for his accolades, but I don't think it matters. I think he's a Hall of Famer anyways, so I don't think he needs it. I think the only other pitcher with a chance to get to him would be like Emmanuel Clase, and I don't think it will happen. I know he has like over 200 and he's still very young, so I guess he could be a possibility, but probably not going to happen.
Clase is 26 years old. He's been playing for 5 years. He's got 157 saves, but he's just, I mean, he's just out of control, like electric. He's led the league the last three seasons. He rarely blows saves. This year went 46 for 49 on save ops, only allowed 5 earned runs, 2 home runs, had a 0.64 ERA. What in the world is happening in Cleveland? So
yeah, there's going to be an argument for him, Cy Young. I don't think he should get it, but there's an argument to be made. I thought Zach Britton should have gotten more votes in 2016 over Porcello, but I think Skubal and others are way better than the reliever this time. So
yeah, if Skubal wasn't having the year he was, I think you're absolutely right. But bringing it back to Cora for a second, I think you brought up a lot of great points, but here's the thing too. If you're the manager, your number one responsibility has to be your players. And when your players are injured, you have the, I think, obligation morally to take them out if it's really, really bad. Now, if they're pushing through things like Devers, for example, has been dealing with something for weeks. At this point, it might be months. And we don't know really how bad it is, but he's taken absolutely no time to heal and recover. Kenley Jensen, when he gets off the mound, you kind of wonder what's going on. He's kind of shaking the shoulder a little bit. There have been so many signs and moments this year where, you know, Cora should have probably made a change or should have made an adjustment. But you know what? Yeah, sure, you can blame the manager for a degree of this issue, but you're blaming the person who doesn't build the team up to its full potential and to its what should be full strength. You're leaving gaps, you're leaving holes. Everyone was talking about how this bullpen was absolutely electric at the end of April, beginning of May. We also had one of the most overused bullpens in Major League Baseball just a month into the season. Is that Alex Cora's fault? Maybe we could have done a little bit better management of our starters or something of that nature. But it's, you know, we still got a couple series to go, and we have 3, 4, 5 guys that are still pretty not okay. I see absolutely no problem saying, you know, Raf, we didn't see the season you wanted. You know, you didn't get the season you wanted. There's just no need to continue risking it. We're playing for nothing at this point. And if we're just going to wait until we're mathematically out of it, and then Cora says, yeah, Devers couldn't play through it anymore, he's going to look like a big jerk. He's going to look like a really bad manager, not a team guy after just getting a ridiculous extension. Nick, go first, and then we'll finish with Terry.
Yeah, I was going to bring up the extension. It's almost like he's managing a team without the extension at the moment. It's like he's just kind of trying to screw over the Red Sox like I kind of felt last year in like the Bear Claw game. Or at this point, you got to come back next year with Devers. Why not rest him? Who cares? Like, what does Devers want to get to 30 homers? At this point, it's not happening. Just sit him down, let him get healthy. Yeah, I mean, I thought his best chance was off Garrett Cole, and you see how that went. So, but yeah, get everybody healthy. I didn't think Tanner Houck should have started. I don't think Kenley Jansen should have been on the mound. But if one guy's going to argue, it's going to be Kenley Jansen, and that's fine with me. Whatever.
So I was going to give this take, and I didn't know which part of the show I could have fit it in, you know, later on with number one if I want to, but I'll just do it now. You guys have kind of touched on it. I've in the back of my mind, I'm like, why the sudden drop off? Like, is it by design? Like, I don't think they're trying to lose necessarily, but there's a collective lack of motivation here on this offense. Like, nobody cares right now. Like, Devers took strike three looking earlier. watched it go by, and then looked at the ump and was like, strike three? Yep. Okay. Thank you, sir. And then walked out of the batter's box. And
are you talking about the strike that was over the dish and way out of the zone? That one?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, because the last one he looked at and he's like, you know, this is just the way the game's going. What's the point?
I think it was his first at bat, maybe a second. I don't know. It was
the last one. Yeah, the last one is the one I'm talking about. He stared at strike three and it was not a strike. Okay. And just didn't even question it. Didn't care at that point.
Yeah, no, this was earlier, but the team is checked out. Like that's the term here. They're checked out. And you know, when you look at the bullpen decisions here, Cora's making, for the most part, good moves. Like I didn't see a reliever come out and think, oh, that's inappropriate. And you know, he's still pulling guys off the bench, so he's still doing his job. So I'm not saying they're tanking, but at the same time, it's just it's hard to reconcile in your brain what's really going on right now. You know, you're just constantly evaluating, constantly trying to put your finger on it, and you can't. And I wonder if there is a disconnect right now between Cora and Breslow. And I don't think Cora appreciates basically having the same September 3 years in a row where, you know, they weren't out of it at the beginning, but it was a massive mountain to climb and they didn't have the equipment to climb that mountain. And that's where we're at again. It's just, I think he's sick of losing. And yeah, he's got his contract and his future is set, you know, financially and professionally, but I don't know. I'm getting a very weird vibe from this team right now.
It's been uncomfortable. Everything that's been going on over the past couple weeks, I believe they're 6-11 this month. So September's been a bugaboo for this team for the last couple of years. We've just, you know, for the lack of a better term, we've fallen apart for the year. And then September comes and it's just the wheels are off. We're pushing the bus with no wheels and like no roof. There's no cover over the engine. The seats are all cut up and torn up. It's just we're trying to basically barely push our way over the finish line here. And it's the end of the season can't come fast enough for this team. That's just how bad it is. It's embarrassing. It really is. You know, people can fault the players all they want. This, you know, they got one hit. That happens. But this was just this was embarrassing. And it's not fun to see. It's really, really hard to see. Anything else we want to add on Cora? Nick Diamond, you're up number three. Who you got?
So number three, I got Jaron Duran. He went 1-for-11 this series. He's just been kind of looked overmatched lately, you know. He's probably getting tired. He's had two off days this year, and that's because he yelled at a fan in the stands. And at this point, give him an off day. You know, I'm on the same board, on the same boat with Devers. Just kind of shut him down. Maybe not shut down Duran, but you know, give him an off day here too throughout the end of the season. He hasn't stolen a base in forever. You know, hasn't hit a triple in forever, so he's starting to slow down. I'm kind of getting worried that he's gonna. I don't think he'll ever reproduce this season for the rest of his career, but. Is he ever going to put up 6-7 WAR again? I don't know. But I'm kind of sad he's having a bad September here. And I wish he could have finished strong and maybe pushed for like 30 home runs, 40 steals, which obviously wasn't going to happen. But it would have been a nice story to something to watch at the end of the year.
Terry.
So the last 2 weeks, I mean, he's especially falling off the cliff. I mean, he's hitting 206, 231 in that, a 238 slugging. So there's last 15 games, there's just no home runs. He's only drawn one walk. This is a much different player from what we've seen. And I mean, he's carried this team for the bulk of the year. him and Devers, he's always been the fuse that kind of lit the dynamite. And I think he's tired. I think he's tired, and these guys have nothing to play for. And I hate that we're putting him on this list, but, I mean, you can't win without him, you know, at least giving you what his average numbers are. 1-for-11 on the series. Struck out 4 times. Again, no walks. Just pretty abysmal for a guy who I think had an outside shot to be third in the MVP rankings.
So I love getting to do this because this is, I'm a numbers person. You know, you touch up on the fact that he had a really rough month of September so far, and who knows, it could get worse. And I'm not going to blame him for that. We're playing for nothing. I'm sure the fire is kind of burning out. How many extra base hits does Duran have, you think, this month?
In the whole month?
Zero.
I'll say 2.
It's obviously not 0, but
it's not 0, yeah. What do you think? How many of them are home runs, you think?
0.
0 home runs.
He hasn't hit a home run forever. When's zero the last time he stole a base?
Not this month.
Okay. He hasn't even attempted to steal a base.
No. He's got 2. Well, he did attempt to steal a base in the Yankees game, and he got taken out there. Remember that? That was actually kind of hard to watch because of all the games and of all the teams to try to steal and not get it. That was brutal. He is 15-for-68 before action today. He's striking out in 1/4 of his at-bats. He has 2 doubles, no stolen bases, 4 RBIs, and he has not walked at all this month except for once in the Mets series. This is like Dom Smith meets Sadon Rafaela, who doesn't walk at all. Terry loves bringing up the fact that he doesn't draw walks. And Jaron Duran has been one of the 3 catalysts this entire season. It's been Jaron, Sadon, and Devers. And then Yoshida came back and he became the 4th catalyst. When your top 5 guys go hitless and go 0-for-15, that's really not good. That doesn't bode well for success. You're applying even more pressure to the bottom of your lineup to get damage done. This is not the first series in a row that he's had that's rough, but ultimately I think the fire is gone. He knows that this season is done. We're not playing for anything. He realizes the rest of the team is hurt and it doesn't matter. He's not going to be able to rally the rest of the team to go, you know, perfect for the remainder of the season. Even if they go perfect the remainder of the season, I don't know if that's going to be enough. You know, it's just, it's going to be way too hard. This team just, unfortunately, clearly way overperformed this entire season. It was on the backs of 4 guys on offense and the backs of your bullpen and pitching for the entire first month of the season. And we got exposed. We got exposed. That's what it comes down to. Anything else you guys want to add in Jaron Duran? Yeah, go T.
I'm assuming this will be a decent spot for this. I was going to throw it in there somewhere. So 2 questions. Number 1, where do you think we finish for wins in 2024? And then B, let's say we make no major offensive additions this winter. No impact guys at all. How many wins next year for the same team? Because I think it would be less. But where are you at?
Nick, do you want to go first?
I'll go with 79 this season. What does that give you? 4 more wins out of 9 more games?
I think we're 76 and 77. So if you go 79, that's 3. 76 and 77 gives us, my God,
we'd be 80 and 82 if we only win 4.
Right.
I'll just say they win 3 more games. 79-83.
Yeah.
Do you want to answer both questions?
Yeah, no, go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, I'll do – I'm assuming next year their offensive additions will be Kyle Teal, probably in the opening day lineup. Maybe Christian Campbell, who knows. Those will be their offensive additions, and they'll probably finish around 78, 79 wins again. So,
about the same.
Yeah. I don't think they'll add a pitching side much either. Maybe one veteran pitcher, who knows.
This is going to be really hard to say. I don't even think we should really focus on next year, because I don't think the rookies are going to be all firing up for 2025. I think we really need to start thinking about what 2026 is going to look like, because if the Red Sox are, to your point, Terry, not going to be making any additions, what are we talking about? You know, I think 79 wins is probable. I don't think we're going to get swept by any of the three remaining teams that we're facing. 76 and 77. Yeah, I'd say three wins is probably about right. I don't think that's wrong. At the most, you get four. I don't think you finish up the season 81 and 81. That's just not going to happen. This team doesn't have the, you know, and I've been wrong quite a bit this year. My predictions have been rubbish as of late, but I feel like all of us have been pretty bad except for Nick, who swept. He went 3-0. He went loss, win, loss. He's the only one. Everyone else didn't have that scenario. So yeah, I'd say 79 is probably as good as it's going to get this year. And next year, maybe 77. I really don't have that much faith in 2025. If we're not going to put our, you know, money where our mouth is, open our pocketbook and get the players that we need to get in order to be players. The Los Angeles Dodgers, and I talk about them quite a bit on this show, being in LA now, they went out and they got every player they wanted. They got 8 or 9 additions. They brought back Kike Hernandez. They brought, you know, they got Shohei Ohtani. They got Teoscar Hernandez. They made the trade for Tyler Glasnow. They were trading whatever they wanted, and they got it. They did what they needed to do to make the team better. And the Boston Red Sox are, you know, playing cribbage when everyone else is playing backgammon or checkers.
Hey, whoa.
Yeah. That's, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Well,
I'm an ace. You're awake. I'm an ace cribbage player. But yeah. I think we win less because, like Nick said, I don't think Duran gives you the same output. I think he'll be very good. I just don't think he'll be, you know, off the charts. Devers will be about what he was this year, and this was one of the better years of his career. But if he isn't, then that just proves my point even more. I don't know that David Hamilton gives you that same spark. I'm not sure the at-bats will be there. I don't think Kyle Teal makes the opening day roster. If you look at his Worcester numbers right now, not super great. He's not terrible, but he's hitting low 200s, and he's a Boris guy, so you know they're going to want to stick it to Boris and call him up later, you know, to get all the extra service time and all that. Campbell, I would agree, could make the team. If he's lighting it up in spring training, he'd have a good shot at it, I think. But you did hear Breslow's comments today. Still very much a Vaughn Grissom guy, too, so... So we'll see, but I'd put us at, I'll give us 4 wins. I think you'll get 1 in the Tampa series, and then I think you'll get either 2 wins against Minnesota because they just can't get out of their own way, or you'll get 2 against the Blue Jays. But either way, I'd be shocked if we get to 5 wins. That puts us at 500. Kind of hope we don't, because if Alex Cora needs that narrative in his back pocket this winter, I kind of hope he has it. But yeah, this sucks. And when Charlie says, you know, maybe they're looking at 2026, maybe they're just kind of hoping the 2025 Red Sox will be what the 2023 Orioles were. Just kind of came out of nowhere and won a ton of games. You know, blew up right away in the playoffs, but maybe who knows what this dumbass front office is thinking.
Yeah, it's been tough. Anything else we want to add here?
I just wanted to say if they get swept by the Blue Jays, swept by the Rays, they're in last place, which would be, fifth time in 6 years, something like that. So
they should just rename fifth place the Boston Red Sox spot. Mm-hmm. When it gets that bad. Moving into number two on our bottom five, Tyler O'Neill. Tyler O'Neill, another issue player this weekend. I'm so used to saying weekend. I apologize. 0 for 10 with a strikeout, drew a walk. Pretty happy that it was only one strikeout, but the really big oopsie was the play in, what was it, the eighth inning of the first game where he made a diving play and didn't get it?
Oh, yeah.
That was hard to watch.
Cleared the bases. And
it cleared the bases, and that was Nick Diamond's favorite player, Siri over there. I was actually doubly concerned. I'm like, oh man, that's a big man. If that guy falls the way that he does the wrong way, he could be done for the year too. And then, I mean, that's like the most Boston Red Sox thing ever. But it's, I guess if we're going to try to find a little bit of silver lining here, Tyler O'Neill is doing everything he possibly can to, you know, increase his value for the remainder of the year. He's still striking out at a ridiculous clip. And has had a below average month in relation to this season. Nothing was as bad as August. He just couldn't get out of his own way. Struck out in half his at-bats. He's got to be at close to 150 if he's not already there. He has over 150 strikeouts now, 151, which is the second most of his career. I'm curious to know what team ends up getting somebody like that next year, but no team is going to, you know, look at 31 home runs and say, yeah, no, he's not worth that. So there's going to be a team that gives him a 2 or 3 year deal, and they're probably going to pay him 12 to 15 million. That team will not be the Boston Red Sox. And it's just another 1 year wonder. You know, Tyler O'Neill was here for 1 year, and I can't imagine him coming back under any circumstances. It's the next Justin Turner who, you know, was here for 1 year and will come back and he'll get a standing ovation, I'm sure. And that's going to be it. That's all I got for Tyler O'Neill. Nick, do you want to go first?
The biggest takeaway with Tyler O'Neill is they should have traded him at the deadline. I think they're probably going to offer him the qualifying offer, and he's probably going to decline it because he thinks he can get a 2, 3, 4 year deal maybe. I think the qualifying offer will scare some teams away, but I think he'll get a contract, and at least the Red Sox will recoup something for him if they do give him that offer. They should have traded him in the offseason. His play on the field, it's been bothering me for months now. He strikes out too much. He's way too streaky. One of the weirdest 30 home runs, almost 900 OPS seasons ever, because I feel like he only hits garbage time home runs except for his walk-off home run a few days ago, I guess a week ago now. But I'm kind of glad he's gone. I think it was one of Breslow's only good moves in this offseason, but I'm looking forward to someone else taking his place.
T.
Yeah, I mean, this is the Tyler O'Neill experience. You know, he's going to have one series where he hits two or three dingers, another series he'll be pretty quiet, and only struck out once the whole series, so that's been an issue. It wasn't this series, but 0 for 10. Breslow today seemed to kind of rule him out altogether. They asked, he made his normal spot on WEI every Thursday morning and was on with them today. And they were asking him about retaining some of the free agents he has. And he gave his very political, you know, roundabout sidestepping type routine he always does. And he said that O'Neill's done a great job, but it's his right to go to free agency, and they're going to have to work hard to fix that vacancy. So he, without telling us he was punting, he told us he was punting on O'Neal. And I mean, how hard would it have been unequivocally to say, oh, he's a big priority and we're going to make a ton of effort in bringing him back? That's what Bloom did with Xander Bogaerts. All winter, that was the line. That was the company line until he signed with the Padres. And even a couple of winters before that with Jackie Bradley, I don't know why Hein Bloom couldn't said, yeah, it's very unlikely we're going to bring back Bradley. And but he couldn't. He kept saying, well, we're in contact with him, and that's that. Breslow gave no motivation whatsoever about bringing him back. And, you know, I'd like to think he's smart. You know, he knows he didn't get a ton of games from him. The production was good for the number of games he did play, but you know, he kind of won the bet with O'Neal, and you know, I'd like to think he's walking away with house money on it, but I don't think he's that smart, and I think all he's looking at right now is the price tag that would be associated with bringing him back, and just knows he wants no part of that. I think that's closer to where Breslow's at with O'Neal. But it was very telling today hearing that.
Anything you want to add, Nick?
Yeah, I think Vaughn Grissom has a lot to do with not wanting O'Neal back in Breslow's mind. I think he has to get some sort of value out of Vaughn Grissom. And I think that's kind of why we're hearing these Casas trade rumors. It's like he wants to get Christian Campbell and Vaughn Grissom into this major league lineup somehow, just because I think Breslow doesn't want to have the Sale trade turn into how Mookie's trade turned in for Hein Bloom. You know, it's going to follow him for the rest of his career. You know, Hein Bloom's never going to get a job and be like, ah, that's the guy who traded Mookie Betts. Like, it's going to follow him forever. I think Breslow's starting to hear that about Chris Sale and his Cy Young coming up soon, and who knows what else happens.
I think it's absolutely valid. I think it's absolutely valid. You traded your star pitcher, injured, whatever you want to say, for those idiots out there that are listening. Yeah, I'm talking to you that want to chirp me because I'm still saying that Chris Sale's great. You don't win 18 games by accident. You don't have the season you do by accident. When you're healthy and all things are going right, you will do what we expect you to do. So he's 18-3. He won the game today. I'm not looking at his numbers, but how many strikeouts does he have now? He's got to be over 210 now, right?
I don't know, but he's the unanimous Cy Young in the National League, most likely.
He has to be. He literally would have to be. You know, like it's embarrassing, you know, how everything went down. And I'm looking at it right now. He's a 2.35 ERA. He's got 225 punchouts, a 2.38 ERA. And he's done it in 177 innings. I mean, that's 18 wins is already a career high. He hit 17 three times, twice with Chicago, once with us. He won a total of 17 games for the Boston Red Sox between 2019 and 2023. Didn't pitch in 2020, won six games in 19, five in 21, zero in 22, six in 23. He has had a more impactful season as a member of the Atlanta Braves than he had with the Boston Red Sox spanning his last five seasons. I'm calling 2020 in there too, 5 years in Boston. It's unbelievable. It's fair. It's understandable to be upset, but I mean, when he's healthy, that's what you gave away. On top of that, you paid $16 million to have him not pitch here. Congratulations. Absolutely brilliant. For those that think that this trade is worse than the Mookie Betts trade, you know, if Chris Sale does this again, I don't think Mookie Betts is trending upwards. I think he's losing his ability to some degree. He's not doing the things he used to do when he was in Boston. Yes, he got injured, but if you look at Mookie's numbers, I mean, you'd think he's, you know, a he's a player on the team, but you'd never consider him a superstar. He had one of the most insane starts to the season. And now he's kind of, actually, surprisingly enough, he's kind of picked it up a little bit over this last month. But 17 home runs, 69 RBIs, and he's hitting under 300. How many stolen bases do you think Mookie Betts has this year? Close. Not really. He's got 15 stolen bases. He's 15 for 16, but he's nowhere near the player he used to be. He's only had 123 hits this year. You know, this is a guy that was getting 40 doubles a season. He's at 23. So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting comparison as far as the worst trade between those two GMs. Terry, go ahead.
Well, I mean, he was second last year to Acuna in the MVP race, but this will be the worst trade of Breslow's career, which probably won't be a long one. I can't. He'll get maybe another year or two out of this job, but I don't think he'll ever be the top executive again in a front office. He'll get a job like in pitching analytics and all that. But it wasn't a good trade. And I mean, if you can get Connor Wong production out of Grissom, I would say that would salvage it a little bit. And I think that's probably about what his ceiling is. If you look at his career minor league numbers. So we'll see. Grissom's a likable guy. I mean, I'm not rooting against him by any means. I hope he figures it out. And I don't know where he really fits. And let me say this about Trevor Story. We bag on him a lot. The contract's been overwhelmingly a bust. But he has been pretty good since he's come back. And the one thing I've noticed about him, he looks more relaxed and more at ease right now. Every time he's in the batter's box, he's in the outfield. You're not holding your breath when he makes a tough play. You know, you're not worried about him injuring himself. I hope this is the guy he's going to be going forward, because I'm a little more optimistic about that guy than the guy I've seen in spurts when he's been healthy the last couple years. So, but that makes it tricky, though. Going back to Grissom, where do you put him? Could you slot him in at first? Atlanta was trying to get him into their outfield. That was the plan for him before the sale trade happened. So perhaps we do that. I mean, you could use another everyday righty in the outfield. But Grissom's future is very much open to interpretation, really.
I'm just going to say real quick, Nick, I don't see him becoming a first baseman. He's like 6 foot nothing. He's like 6'1", 6'2". He's probably 3-4 inches shorter than Casas. And I don't think experimenting with him at first base is going to be a really great choice. Nick, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say my initial thoughts were Grissom would play third, Campbell at second, Devers at first, if Casas was traded for a pitcher.
That's an interesting possibility.
Yeah, I think that's what my initial thoughts were. And then you could also experiment with like Pete Alonso free agency if the Red Sox would pay the price, you know. Who knows if that will happen? I doubt it.
I hope not. I mean, I love the person. He's kind of a fun guy, but he's a very one-dimensional hitter, kind of like Tyler O'Neill, I feel like. And I don't think he's going to get paid like people expect, but it won't be cheap either.
Vlad's a free agent the year after, so you could always, like Charlie said, 2026. I don't know if Vlad will still be a free agent in the next year after that, but as of right now, he would be. So you could maybe pony up $400, $350 million, whatever heck he's going to demand at that time if you really wanted to, but the Red Sox are not going to do that. So that's really not an option.
Very true. That is going to lead us into our number one for the bottom five. Terry, take it away.
Well, it has to be Rafi Devers. No hits, 0 for 11. Struck out 8 times. Didn't quite get the golden sombrero, but just a guy going through it right now. Not healthy, and you know, Nick was just kind of mentioning, you know, maybe play him at first next year. I think he would have a lot less wear and tear. You got to trade Casas, though, which is not a Steve is like, Steve winces every time we mention that. But Ken Rosenthal did kind of put it into the universe this week, so let's not completely rule it out. But yeah, I just don't know what to say. He looks really sad right now. He looks as sad as the performance he's giving. And, you know, I mentioned how he struck out looking apparently twice earlier. And the Yankee series didn't seem to fire him up. You know, he was involved in the Garrett Cole controversy. Cole got just absolutely destroyed on social media for that and through the regular media. But, yeah, that didn't seem to light a fire under Devers. And I gave a kind of a long-winded rant, I think, at some point last week. You know, he came onto this team with a bunch of Hall of Famers on it all around him. And gradually they all left. He's the only one still here. I'm sure it was cool to have Jaren Duran hitting one or two spots in front of him, but not much to speak of after that. And I think he's sick of losing. I think the manager's sick of losing. And I wish they would get a lot more vocal about it. But yeah, 0 for 11 with 8 strikeouts. Not a good series for Rafi.
There's nothing really you could say about him. I hate just talking bad about Rafael Devers when he's obviously hurt, playing hurt. Just shut him down. There's nothing that he can accomplish this year except maybe a 30 home run, that plateau kind of thing. I don't know if he has anything in his contract. I doubt it. I don't have very much else for Devers. It stinks seeing him struggle the way he is. I would love to see him maybe turn it on for the last week or week and a half here, but it's not going to happen. Just shut him down.
I've been saying this for a couple weeks now. There's no point. You know, this was a brutal series, and it's just what we expected. 0 for 12, 8 strikeouts. His last at-bat, just staring at it, was just brutal to watch. And I don't think anybody's concerned with him. And Garrett Cole, as much of a coward as he is for hitting Devers, for admiring a home run, congratulations. You have 4 guys in your team that do that. But it's just, it's so sad, but he's not going to hit 30. They're going to shut. There's just no point. I don't care about your individual season. I would rather care about your long-term future, and your 28 home runs mean nothing when the team's not going to go anywhere. It's not your fault. I don't blame you, but it is what it is, you know? So, Nick.
I guess the only other thing I wanted to add would be I would love to see Devers bat second more often. I'd love to have Duran and then Devers immediately right after him. I'd love to see Duran get on with a double. I know he hasn't been hitting lately, but I think it would spark Devers a little bit, see a little bit more fastballs, especially with Duran on base. You know, I think he would see more fastballs in the second spot in the order. But, you know, Cora likes him in the four hole at the moment, or I guess the whole year. So I, whatever, let Cora do what he has to do. But that's my thought there. Maybe get him going, move him up to the two hole if he really wants to keep playing.
I mean, I don't hate him hitting second if it's a righty starter, but I would really love to get your Ellsbury and your Pedroia. And I think Duran is your Ellsbury. So I, you know, kind of quietly all season, I was kind of hoping maybe Rafaela would make that leap and kind of be that two-hole profile. And he hasn't really done that, but at the same time, he did kind of exceed my expectations anyway. but I'd love to get a Pedroia Ellsbury type guy and then slot Devers in accordingly after that.
It's been such an uncomfortable season for so many reasons. And this is just the latest one for us. You know, you almost have to laugh because of all the things that could have potentially gotten better and continued to get worse. And Devers is also on that list now. Sadly, he did not have the season he wanted. I don't blame him for that. It is what it is at this point. But yeah, we're now rounding out the season with literally nothing to prove. At this point, 30 home runs would be nothing short of bragging rights, but there's no need. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't. And the team needs to do the smart thing and shut him down, because prolonging his long-term health should exceed and should be more important than his individual accolades for a season that doesn't matter. Terry, anything else you want to add?
Losing year after year is bad for the player's mental health. So let's work on that.
Yeah, that'd be great. Anything else you want to add, Nick?
Not really. Yeah, no, nothing.
I don't blame you. It's been brutal. So
it's just hard to get through these games at this point.
Yeah. I can give you a couple bourbon ideas if you need one, Nick. For all of the bastards, that's going to do it for us. Have a great one. Take care.